This is the reading for June 13. Job chapter 14. All of us born to women live only a few days and have lots of trouble. We grow up like flowers and then dry up and die. We are like a passing shadow that does not last. Lord, do you need to watch me like this? Must you bring me before you to be judged? No one can bring something clean from something dirty. Our time is limited. You have given us only so many months to live and have set limits we cannot go beyond. So look away from us and leave us alone until we put in our time like a laborer. If a tree is cut down, there is hope that it will grow again and will send out new branches. Even if its roots grow old in the ground and its stump dies in the dirt, at the smell of water it will bud and put out new shoots like a plant. But we die and our bodies are laid in the ground. We take our last breath and are gone. Water disappears from a lake and a river loses its water and dries up. In the same way, we lie down and do not rise again. We will not get up or be awakened until the heavens disappear. I wish you would hide me in the grave. Hide me until your anger is gone. I wish you would set a time and then remember me. If a person dies, will he live again? All my days are a struggle. I will wait until my change comes. You will call and I will answer you. You will desire the creature your hands have made. Then you will count my steps, but you will not keep track of my sin. My wrongs will be closed up in a bag, and you will cover up my sin. A mountain washes away and crumbles, and a rock can be moved from its place. Water washes over stones and wears them down. Rushing waters wash away the dirt. In the same way, you destroy my hope. You defeat a person forever, and he is gone. You change his appearance and send him away. His sons are honored, but he does not know it. His sons are disgraced, but he does not see it. He only feels the pain of his body and feels sorry for himself. 2 Kings chapter 11. When Ahaziah's mother, Athaliah, saw that her son was dead, she killed all the royal family. But Jehosheba, King Jehoram's daughter, and Ahaziah's sister, took Joash, Ahaziah's son. She stole him from among the other sons of the king who were about to be murdered. She put Joash and his nurse in a bedroom to hide him from Athaliah, so he was not killed. He hid with her in the temple of the Lord for 6 years. During that time, Athaliah ruled the land. In the 7th year, Jehoiada sent for the commanders of groups of 100 men, as well as the Karites. He brought them together in the temple of the Lord and made an agreement with them. There, in the temple of the Lord, he made them promise loyalty, and then he showed them the king's son. He commanded them, "This is what you must do. A third of you who go on duty on the Sabbath will guard the king's palace. A third of you will be at the Sur gate, and another third will be at the gate behind the guard. This way you will guard the temple. The two groups who go off duty on the Sabbath must protect the temple of the Lord for the king. All of you must stand around the king, each man with his weapons in his hand. If anyone comes near, kill him. Stay close to the king when he goes out and when he comes in." The commanders, over 100 men, obeyed everything Jehoiada the priest had commanded. Each one took his men who came on duty on the Sabbath, and those who went off duty on the Sabbath, and they came to Jehoiada the priest. He gave the commanders the spears and shields that had belonged to King David and that were kept in the temple of the Lord. Then each guard took his place with his weapons in his hand. There were guards from the south side of the temple to the north side. They stood by the altar and the temple and around the king. Jehoiada brought out the king's son and put the crown on him and gave him a copy of the agreement. They appointed him king and poured olive oil on him. Then they clapped their hands and said, "Long live the king." When Athaliah heard the noise of the guards and the people, she went to them at the temple of the Lord. She looked, and there was the king standing by the pillar as the custom was. The officers and trumpeters were standing beside him, and all the people of the land were very happy and were blowing trumpets. Then Athaliah tore her clothes and screamed, "Traitors, traitors!" Jehoiada the priest gave orders to the commanders of 100 men who led the army. He said, "Surround her with soldiers, and kill with a sword anyone who follows her." He commanded this because he had said, "Don't put Athaliah to death in the temple of the Lord." So they caught her when she came to the horse's entrance near the palace. There she was put to death. Then Jehoiada made an agreement between the Lord and the king and the people that they would be the Lord's special people. He also made an agreement between the king and the people. All the people of the land went to the temple of Baal and tore it down, smashing the altars and idols. They also killed Matan, the priest of Baal, in front of the altars. Then Jehoiada the priest placed guards at the temple of the Lord. He took with him the commanders of 100 men and the Karites, the royal bodyguards, as well as the guards and all the people of the land. Together they took the king out of the temple of the Lord and went into the palace through the gate of the guards. Then the king sat on the royal throne. So all the people of the land were very happy, and Jerusalem had peace, because Athaliah had been put to death with the sword at the palace. Joash was 7 years old when he became king. 2 Kings chapter 12. Joash became king of Judah in Jehu's 7th year as king of Israel, and he ruled for 40 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Zibiah, and she was from Beersheba. Joash did what the Lord said was right, as long as Jehoiada the priest taught him. But the places where gods were worshipped were not removed. The people still made sacrifices and burned incense there. Joash said to the priest, "Take all the money brought as offerings to the temple of the Lord. This includes the money each person owes in taxes and the money each person promises or brings freely to the Lord. Each priest will take the money from the people he serves. Then the priest must repair any damage they find in the temple." But by the 23rd year Joash was king, the priest still had not repaired the temple. So King Joash called for Jehoiada the priest and the other priests and said to them, "Why aren't you repairing the damage of the temple? Don't take any more money from the people you serve, but hand over the money for the repair of the temple." The priests agreed not to take any more money from the people and not to repair the temple themselves. Jehoiada the priest took a box and made a hole in the top of it. Then he put it by the altar on the right side as the people came into the temple of the Lord. The priests guarding the doorway put all the money brought to the temple of the Lord into the box. Each time the priest saw that the box was full of money, the king's royal secretary and the high priest came. They counted the money that had been brought to the temple of the Lord, and they put it into bags. Next, they weighed the money and gave it to the people in charge of the work on the temple. With it, they paid the carpenters and the builders who worked on the temple of the Lord, as well as the bricklayers and stone cutters. They also used the money to buy timber and cut stone to repair the damage of the temple of the Lord. It paid for everything. The money brought into the temple of the Lord was not used to make silver cups, wick trimmers, bowls, trumpets, or gold or silver vessels. They paid the money to the workers who used it to repair the temple of the Lord. They did not demand to know how the money was spent, because the workers were honest. The money from the penalty offerings and sin offerings was not brought into the temple of the Lord, because it belonged to the priests. About this time, Hazael, king of Aram, attacked Gath and captured it. Then he went to attack Jerusalem. Joash, king of Judah, took all the holy things given by his ancestors, the kings of Judah, Jehoshaphat, Jehoram, and Ahaziah. He also took his own holy things as well as the gold that was found in the treasuries of the temple of the Lord and the gold from the palace. Joash sent all this treasure to Hazael, king of Aram, who turned away from Jerusalem. Everything else Joash did is written in the book of the history of the kings of Judah. His officers made plans against him and killed him at Beth Millo on the road down to Silla. The officers who killed him were Jozabad, son of Shimeath, and Jehozabad, son of Shomer. Joash was buried with his ancestors in Jerusalem, and Amaziah, his son, became king in his place.
Chapter 21.
Later, by the Sea of Tiberias, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples. This was what happened. Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, Zebedee's sons, and two other disciples of Jesus were together. Simon Peter said to the others, "I'm going fishing." They told him, "We're going with you." They went out in a boat but didn't catch a thing that night. As the sun was rising, Jesus stood on the shore. The disciples didn't realize that it was Jesus. Jesus asked them, "Friends, haven't you caught any fish?" They answered him, "No, we haven't." He told them, "Throw the net out on the right side of the boat, and you'll catch some." So they threw the net out and were unable to pull it in because so many fish were in it. The disciples whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It's the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put back on the clothes that he had taken off and jumped into the sea. The other disciples came with the boat and dragged the net full of fish. They weren't far from shore, only about 100 yards. When they went ashore, they saw a fire with the fish lying on the coals, and they saw a loaf of bread. Jesus told them, "Bring some of the fish you've just caught." Simon Peter got into the boat and pulled the net ashore. Though the net was just filled with 153 large fish, it was not torn. Jesus told them, "Come, have breakfast." None of the disciples dared to ask him who he was. They knew he was the Lord. Jesus took the bread, gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was the third time that Jesus showed himself to the disciples after he had come back to life. After they had eaten breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than the other disciples do?" Peter answered him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus told him, "Feed my lambs." Jesus asked him again, a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter answered him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus told him, "Take care of my sheep." Jesus asked him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt sad because Jesus had asked him a third time, "Do you love me?" So Peter said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus told him, "Feed my sheep." I can guarantee this truth. When you were young, you would get ready to go where you wanted. But when you're old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will get you ready and take you where you don't want to go. Jesus said this to show by what kind of death Peter would bring glory to God. After saying this, Jesus told Peter, "Follow me." Peter turned around and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved. That disciple was following them. He was the one who leaned against Jesus' chest at the supper and asked, "Lord, who is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he asked Jesus, "Lord, what about him?" Jesus said to Peter, "If I want him to live until I come again, how does that concern you? Follow me." So a rumor that the disciple wouldn't die spread among Jesus' followers. But Jesus didn't say that he wouldn't die. What Jesus said was, "If I want him to live until I come again, how does that concern you?" This disciple was an eyewitness of these things and wrote them down. We know that what he says is true. Jesus also did many other things. If every one of them were written down, I suppose the world wouldn't have enough room for the books that would be written.